Rest of your headlines this hour. The U.S. says its bond with Israel is unshakable and unbreakable, softening its tone over Israeli settlement expansion. OPEC oil ministers reach a consensus on maintaining output targets. And German Chancellor Angela Merkel says child abuse is not exclusive to the Roman Catholic Church, but a problem of the whole society. Hello and welcome. It is 3:30 p.m. here in the capital, Tehran. Many thanks for joining us. You tune into Press TV International News. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has dismissed reports of a rift between Washington and Tel Aviv. At a press conference, Clinton refuted claims that the relationship between the U.S. and Israel has reached its worst level in the past 35 years.
Oh, I don't buy that. I've been around not that long, but a long time. We have an absolute commitment to Israel's security. We have a close, unshakable bond between the United States and Israel and between the American-Israeli people. We share common values and a commitment to a democratic future for the world, and we are both committed to a two-state solution.
Clinton says the United States wants full commitment from both Israel and the Palestinians towards reviving peace talks. She said her government was concerned about the humanitarian crisis in Gaza and wanted the suffering alleviated. However, Clinton said in order for the Hamas resistance movement to be accepted into a political process, it would have to recognize Israel and relinquish violence. For his part, Irish Foreign Minister Michael Martin said the blockade on Gaza is fueling extremism. Israel has lifted its closure of the West Bank nearly 1 week after imposing a full lockdown on the occupied territory. Tel Aviv says it has also reopened the Al-Aqsa Mosque to Palestinian worshippers. The site had been closed to Muslim men under 50 since Friday. Israel says it will maintain a high alert in Jerusalem Al-Quds. 3,000 police have been deployed to the city to prevent outbreaks of violence. The state of alert follows clashes between Israeli police and Palestinian protesters on Tuesday. The violence left at least 100 Palestinians wounded. The clashes erupted after Tel Aviv's announcement of plans to build 1,600 new Israeli settlement units in Jerusalem Al-Quds and to reopen a synagogue in the city. The Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah has condemned assaults by Israeli forces against Palestinians in East Jerusalem Al-Quds. The condemnation comes 1 day after Israeli soldiers clashed with Palestinian protesters, injuring and detaining scores of them. Hezbollah says it is in complete solidarity with Palestinians in their struggle against what it calls Zionist crimes being committed around the Al-Aqsa Mosque. The resistance movement hopes the building of an Israeli synagogue near the Al-Aqsa Mosque will lead to more Muslim vigilance and resistance. The movement also demanded that Arab and Muslim leaders take concrete action against Israel. Dozens of states in the United States are holding candlelight vigils to commemorate the brutal murder of American peace activist Rachel Corrie. The 7th anniversary comes as Corrie's criminal trial against the bulldozer drivers is underway in Israel. We have John Hoffice in Washington with that story.
These are the images of American peace activist Rachel Corrie moments before she was crushed to death by an Israeli bulldozer in 2003. And these are the graphic images which will forever immortalize Rachel as a nonviolent martyr for the Palestinian struggle and global social justice. The 23-year-old student from Washington State was part of the international solidarity movement in Gaza when she used her body as a human shield to block the American-made bulldozer from destroying a Palestinian home. Rachel's death has brought international attention to the ongoing eviction and home demolitions in occupied Palestinian territories.
Obviously, right now, the anniversary comes at a time when her parents are seeking some sort of justice for really the murder of their daughter in a civil court in Israel.
Rachel Corrie's seven-year anniversary and trial in Israel comes as the U.S. and Israel are in the midst of a heated contention over Israel's direct violation of the proximity talks and international law.
The timing there is interesting, and it's important that enough attention is being given to really one of the few people that literally stood in the way of Israel's policies.
While in Israel, members of Vice President Joe Biden's entourage met with the Corrie family and said the Obama administration would be monitoring the trial through a U.S. diplomat.
You know, we do have diplomats, you know, who do sit in on legal proceedings that are of interest to Americans, and we'll take the question as to what those plans are.
International actions are taking place all over the world to commemorate the timeless life of Rachel Corrie and honor her final stand against Israeli policy. Here in the United States, dozens of candlelight vigils will be held outside government buildings to commemorate her message.
You can bulldoze a body, but you can't bulldoze a spirit. The spirit of Rachel lives in us, lives in her parents, lives in the people of Gaza.
For American peace activists, Rachel symbolized much more than the heroine she became. Jahan Hafiz, Press TV, Washington.
The Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, has opened talks in Vienna on its production target. OPEC ministers have agreed to keep the organization's output unchanged. The members say OPEC has already been pumping well above market demand. Some economists expect growing consumption in Asian countries, particularly China, to help push prices higher later this year. This is New York's light sweet crude for April delivery gained more than 50 cents to stand at $82. In London, Brent crude was traded at almost the same price. Let's find out more about this. We're going to talk to our correspondent, Eva Manasseva, who joins us from Vienna. Eva, what have been the main points in this summit?
Well, the decision has definitely been taken. For the next 5 to 6 months, the ministers will stick to their present production quotas of 4.2 million barrels a day. No change, definitely in sight, at least not in the foreseeable future. The only call that has been made so far was for the for the countries that have been overproducing for the last several months. The cartel once again called on the member states to respect the present production quotas. At present, member states are oversupplying the market with nearly 2 million barrels daily. So the ministers are definitely happy with the present market situation, with the present oil prices hovering between $70 and $80 per barrel, saying the supply absolutely answers the demand. The greatest demand, according to the Algerian oil minister, who already spoke several minutes ago, comes from China and India. He spoke of overheating in China, saying that China and India might trigger the demand higher in the coming months. But for the next 5 to 6 months, at least until their next meeting in October, the cartel is definitely going to sit on the fence and observe the present economical situation and then perhaps take another decision.
Okay, you mentioned China and India in terms of prices perhaps going higher in terms of the demand. But overall, aside from China and India, if demand does indeed go up, then that means prices will go up. Isn't that the case?
Well, OPEC ministers already assured that even if the demand from China and India goes higher, this will definitely not be a problem, as the cartel is at present producing anyway nearly 2 million barrels daily overproduction. So answering higher demand from China and India by the cartel will definitely not be a problem, at least according to the ministers. What seems to be a bigger concern for them, at least judging by the cautious statements made here at OPEC, is what they called the changing geopolitical climate. That is the possibility of United States and European Union imposing tighter sanctions against Iran due to its nuclear program. Some ministers and a lot of the analysts here in Vienna already said that this is definitely going to be a step in the wrong direction. But of course, the cartel would also be observing the change in the geopolitical situation in the coming months before its autumn meeting in October.
Okay, thank you very much from Vienna there, our correspondent, Eva Manasseva. Continuing with the news, German Chancellor Angela Merkel says sexual abuse of children is a problem of the whole society, not just the Roman Catholic Church. In a speech to Parliament, Merkel says sexual abuse is something that happens in many areas of society, even today. This comes as the German Catholic Church is dealing with 300 alleged cases of child abuse across the country. Accusations of abuse have now been made in regions where Pope Benedict was Archbishop from 1977 to 1982. Senior Vatican figures claim the sex abuse revelations are being aggressively used to damage the Pope. A rights group at the United Nations Human Rights Council accused the Vatican of failing to bring priests who had abused children to justice.
The abuse scandals in Christian boarding schools in Germany have been around for some time. Accusations of mistreatment have been reported in 20 of the existing 27 Catholic dioceses in the country. Like here in the Odenwald school, dozens of pupils have been sexually abused or subjected to severe and degrading physical punishment in the course of the last four decades. 8 teachers have been charged in this school alone. At least 200 former students from Catholic schools have come forward with such claims. Also, other clerical institutions, like the world-famous boys' choir from the city of Regensburg, now have to face reports on corporate punishment. Monsignor Georg Ratzinger, the current Pope's brother, directed the choir for 30 years, but he has said the alleged abuse occurred before he took up his post. Ratzinger said he was aware that children had been beaten at schools attended by the choristers, but that he knew nothing of the kind of sex abuse now being reported. And Pope Benedict's former DOC said the Pope once unwittingly approved housing for a priest accused of child sex abuse. The episode dates back to 1980, when he was Archbishop of Munich. As more and more cases become public, the church authorities are finally starting to take the problem seriously.
We want to uncover the truth and want to have an honest disclosure of all cases, even in cases that have happened a long time ago.
In the public discussion, the moral authority of the church is questioned. The number of people leaving the church is soaring. Leading politicians like Deputy President of Parliament Wolfgang Thierse demand a public apology by the Pope. Others call for an end of celibacy for Catholic priests, which is so far obligatory. So far, the Catholic Church in Germany did not come up with a strategy to prevent such cases of abuse in the future. The abolition of celibacy for priests, which is often ignored here anyway, would allow it to regain at least some trust by the people. Wolfgang Karak, Press TV in Munich.
The head of Iran's Atomic Energy Organization has said Tehran is ready to deliver 1,200 kilograms of low-enriched uranium in one go in return for nuclear fuel. Dr. Ali Akbar Salahi, however, noted that the exchange must be inside Iran. Dr. Salahi said Iran had earlier proposed to deliver its low-enriched uranium in batches of 400 kilograms, but this turned out to be uneconomical. Iran urgently needs nuclear fuel for its Tehran research reactor, which caters to cancer patients. Tehran says there is no guarantee of a fuel exchange unless it takes place simultaneously in its territory. The U.S. and its Western allies have rejected Iran's proposal to swap low-enriched uranium with nuclear fuel inside the country. They are now instead threatening Iran with tougher sanctions over its nuclear energy program. Tehran and Islamabad have signed a deal for the construction of a pipeline pumping Iran's natural gas to Pakistan. The peace pipeline, as it's called, will connect Iran's South Pars gas field to Pakistan's southern Balochistan and Sindh provinces. The $7.6 billion project is crucial for Pakistan to avert a growing energy crisis. Pakistani Petroleum Ministry has hailed the deal signed in Turkey as a historic achievement and a milestone towards meeting the country's energy needs. Iran has the world's second largest gas reserves after Russia. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's political bloc has called for a recount of ballots cast in the country's general elections, claiming widespread vote fraud. Maliki's coalition says there has been clear manipulation inside the election commission to favor a certain rival candidate. The state of law says it has lodged an official complaint over the issue. This comes after the race between Maliki's political alliance and that of ex-Prime Minister Iyad Alawi tightened dramatically, with less than 9,000 votes separating the two. The state of law, which is still ahead in the vote count, has described its rival's progress as a miracle. So far, Maliki's coalition has 18 seats in the capital, Baghdad, with Alawi's Iraqiya bloc with 16 seats. 3:44 p.m. here in the capital, Tehran. You're tuned into Press TV News. Let's review the top stories for you for this hour. The United States says its bond with Israel is unshakable and unbreakable, softening its tone over Israeli settlement expansion. OPEC oil ministers reach consensus on maintaining output targets. And German Chancellor Angela Merkel says child abuse is not exclusive to the Roman Catholic Church, but a problem of the whole society.